it brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone. Someday, when you hit it much lighter.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Vince Tony. He is a write-in candidate for the 1st District Aldermanic seat in the city of Milwaukee. And so, sir, let's talk about the – let's say if you were elected alderman, you're one person. One of 15, and in all the years that I've been around, I failed to see those Alden people working together.
Yeah, well, that might be a problem and a concern. However, being an Alder person, meaning that you work for the 36,000 people that are in my district, so we've got situations where they're putting schools and turning them into low-income housing in certain neighborhoods. People in that neighborhood don't want it, and nobody's fighting for it. So we've got 22 wards in that district, so that every person in that ward should be represented. So when I know that I'm not going to have a lot of alliances or friends, and I'm not going up there to make friends. I'm going up there for the people in the district, period. So I represent the people in the district. I know what their needs are. I mean, I've been out here since 1992. It's the same thing, potholes. Now it's the guns, the driving, the irrational behavior. All of those issues have been a constant in the city, and they haven't been addressed. So in that district, I just represent the district. Hopefully some of the things that we are able to accomplish in the district, which is, first of all, camaraderie. And I've got 21,000 people that I've got to convince that's lost hope. I have to convince 21,000 people that this is a possibility, provided they allow me to be in that office.
So you talked about 21,000 people, the two candidates who made the ballots. Mm-hmm. You said 1,000 was the most votes one got?
Well, one had 1,012, the other was 900. So less than 2,000 votes they won. So
People can become aldermen in the city of Milwaukee with 3,000 votes.
Absolutely, and that could possibly happen. And what I'm saying is that, hey, I'm running as a write-in candidate, and people look on the ballot. There's three lines there. You see two candidates, David Bowen, Andrea Pratt, and you'll see at the bottom at write-in. Check that and write in Vince Tony. Let's get it done. If I get between 5 and 10,000 votes, then this status quo, the people that have been – David Bowen's been a he's been the assemblyman for 10 years. I can tell you one thing that he did in our community, which people in the community were against. Andrea Pratt, there's a lawsuit against her from Night Owl. Her alderman, Shante Hamilton, and Baird in the city of Milwaukee for something they did while she was in Hamilton's office when he was the alder person. He quit on us. So I can't sit back and just not say anything when I've got two people that are trying to become aldermen in the community that I lived in since 1992 that have zero leadership skills.
So, but I also have to say those allegations, and they have, it's, nobody's been criminally charged.
They haven't.
Okay, so those allegations, we want to make sure that we...
Allegations, that, yeah. Well, yeah. Here, I'll give you some allegations. Last week... I'm knocking on doors. Lady tells me that there's a sign in front of her yard. It used to be Zandria Bailey. She was a candidate. She says that someone came and removed that sign. I said, well, did you authorize them to remove it? She says, no. She says, by the way, if you want, you can remove theirs and put yours there. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But she gave me an authorization or permission to put my sign there. Just this Monday, I was on 50th. And between Hampton and Fairmont, a man said that David Bowen told him that I didn't win the primary, and that he could, I gave him permission to say that my supporters could support him. I called David Bowen yesterday and told him that's an absolute lie. And the individual was willing to meet with him and discuss what was said in that conversation. So I'm learning politics. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to, my integrity is not going to be overcome by some of the trickery that they play. I'm not going to go that far, but I'm understanding how this thing works and why we're in the situation that we're in, because we've got people that are playing tricks with our lives.
Well, that's the election is April 4th.
April 4th.
And you've knocked on many doors, I'm sure.
I've knocked on a lot of doors. But, you know, when we say knock on doors, when you knock on doors, you might go up down the block with 20 houses on it. You may talk to one or two people. So knocking on doors, and when you've got 21,000 people and you're knocking on doors, you may get one out of 10 that, you know, houses that you knock on. So you're not reaching all of the people. So people in the district don't really know. They'll see yard signs and they'll see door knockers, but they've seen that for decades, and that doesn't mean anything to them.
So the whole part of elections and those kinds of things is your opponents have name recognition.
Yeah.
And that's how things work in this country.
Well, they don't have to.
Whether it's, I know they don't have to, but we do know that name recognition, I don't care whether it's the automatic seat, whether it's a judgeship, whether it's, you know, a mayor or a governor, name recognition seems to people seem to decide, well, that's the name I know, that's the name I've heard, and they vote based on those things.
So we got less than 2,000 people that recognize two names out of 21,000 people. That's sad.
Whether it's correct.
Exactly. And I think when we look at it holistically, we've got the NAACP, we've got the Milwaukee Urban League, we've got the Young Professionals, we've got Get Out to Vote, we got all of these people out here. Why aren't they educating the 21,000 people that don't vote and let them know what's going on? And that, I mean, people died for us to have the right to vote, and here we are, 21,000 people didn't vote, and nobody's saying anything in the black community.
So
that's sad.
So I can't speak for any of those entities that you just brought up. They, you know, they have people who do what they do. So I can't explain to you why they don't get out and do what they should be doing. I mean, I'm in agreement with you that there certainly people need to be educated on what voting is about. It shouldn't just be knocking on the door and telling people to vote. Part of why we are faced with the issues that we are faced with, not just in the city of Milwaukee, but across this nation, is people not being educated about what this is and what to do after you vote for somebody and what to expect from somebody. But I don't think that people who benefit by name recognition are going to do that.
Right.
That they're certainly not going to cut their own throats. And that's, again, all things being equal, I wish there was another way that we could educate people to understand that just because somebody has a name and you can't find anything that they've done to make somebody else's life better in the time that they've been in the seats that they're in, they're not deserving of going back to those seats. I'm in agreement with you 100%, but how do you change it?
I think, well, it's going to, I don't, well, right now in the crisis that we're in, the one way that it can be changed is that we have to put pressure on the people that are in office and make some noise. But people aren't willing. I'm willing to make some noise, even if I don't win. I've been making noise and taking care of my general area in the district. I can't take it a whole city, but I'm not in that position. But, you know, we have to question the NAACP. We have to question these organizations. We have to question the church. Where are you and what are you doing to educate our people? I've been to churches that have few members, and I talked to one lady. She said the church on the corner, when they moved into the community, they asked if they have their block watch meetings at their church. The pastor says no. When they start losing membership, the pastor comes down the block and says, can we have your membership? Those are the type of relationships that turn people away from the church, from pastors, teachers, preachers, everything. So we've become a dysfunctional society until we deal with the dysfunction and the trauma that we've suffered for the last 400 years and these last years that we've been suffering from the trauma that we've had and we've endured in this city.
So the lack of people voting is not just a city of Milwaukee issue, a black people issue. It is, in fact, 1 in 2 vote in this nation, even for the president.
Yeah.
People are frustrated, many, and they don't see a correlation between voting and their lives changing. Yeah.
And I know that it's happening throughout the nation, but I live in Milwaukee. I can read about what happens in other cities, but I can only be active and do something where I am. So whatever they're doing in other cities, I read about it, but what goes on here, I can be actively involved.
So we got to go, man. Good luck.
Appreciate it.
Name again?
Vince Tony, write-in candidate, District 1 alderperson. April 4th is the election. I'd appreciate if I can get 2,000 to 3,000 votes. I think we send a message to the Democrats that they're going to have to start listening to us. Are people like myself that are free-spirited, free thinkers, and not associated with any party can get in and knock them out of the seat and they can get somewhere and do whatever they need to do.
All right. Thank you. Here's what I want to say as we come in from the next break. We're going to talk about faith. Scientific facts versus faith. And, you know, what your beliefs are about the afterlife. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. All right, man.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Again, scientific facts versus faith. You know, I'm a guy who was brought up in the church as a young boy. And would go to church, Sunday school, church on Wednesday, sometimes church on Thursday or Friday, choir rehearsal on Saturday, you know, church on Sunday. And so I grew up in an environment where my beliefs about life and afterlife and all of those things, before I could make determinations myself on what I truly believed and what I didn't believe. And I wasn't alone. That was the way it was during the generation, my generation's upbringing. Our parents made sure, just about all of us in my generation, that we all went to church, that we all learned some religious foundation, and we lived our lives accordingly. We did the same thing with our children. When we had them, we made sure that early on in the lives of our children that they would go to church. The Bible played, it was a big role in our lives as we, the development of who we are. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I'm interested in your thoughts, because as we get to a point, as I am and many in my listening audience, on the other side of our life cycles, now there's conversations about whether or not scientifically what we were taught as far as our faith walk really is the truth. And if there is some life after this one, and you see more and more people with their scientific information really challenging the things that we were taught, I'm really interested and curious about the thoughts of you, where you are now in your life, and all of the different things in the afterlife, and if you believe that that's real, if you really believe there's something after this, and if now you have questions about it based on some, after we've gotten, you know, away from our childhood upbringings, many of us, I'll tell you just straight up, I'm not in the church anymore. I used to be. It was a place that shaped who I am today. The fact that I am a person who cares about other people's lives outside of my own, and that I know that all of us have a responsibility in the short period of time that we're here on this earth to do something to make other people's lives better. All of that came from the upbringing that I received as a young boy. But we get to a point where, I don't know, we drift away from that. Or we go back to that as our life cycles get shorter. And so when you go into churches, mosques, synagogues, temples, you don't see young people there anymore. It is full of people from my generation in this listening audience's generation. Have you changed your belief? Listen, I can talk about a lot of things. We can talk about politics, and I get tired of talking about politics. I'm not going to lie to you. But this conversation, you know, 844-967-2789, you know that what I'm saying is real. And sometimes I don't understand why we as adults can't have a conversation. I remember as a young person, people say, oh, you can't talk about religion. You can't talk about politics. Those are the things I'm talking about. Well, why can't we talk about religion and politics? Well, people aren't confident or sure. Why? 844-967-2789. Love to hear your opinion. We'll be right back.
Couché avec moi ce soir. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi? don't know, Earl, you kind of caught me off guard here, but I'll do my best. On your list, but no.
You know, sometimes people need to just let me indulge a couple minutes before I go back and listening to, you know, the music of my generation and my life. And that's what I bring every morning, is the music of my generation and my life. And these things are what has shaped the person that I am. But anyway, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, 844-967-2789. I've got one of my colleagues in the studio with me, none other than Mr. Johnny Watermelon.
How you doing, Earl?
I'm fine, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm tickled you gave me a little invite. You saw me on the other side of the glass and you said, "Hey, dude, sit down. I got something for you." All right.
Listen, man, we're from the same generation.
Yep.
And so this subject matter that we are going to tackle right now is a serious one. And I laugh and I joke a lot about things, but this is a serious, serious conversation and dialogue. And I would love to have buy-in from the listening audience. And so the question becomes, again, you know, the more we've, as young boys and young girls, we grew up at a time when the churches were full, right?
Right.
I mean, man, the synagogues, the mosques, the temples, the churches, they were full. And our families all made sure that we got a foundation. I don't care what religion you have or believe in, we learned as young children that foundation, Christianity, Islam, you know, Confucius, Taoism, whatever, Confucius, whatever your religious practice, we had that as a foundation, and it helped kind of be a guiding light and a beacon for us as we grew.
Sure.
And it also kept us in the straight and narrow.
Sure.
Because before you...
Because you didn't want dad to take the belt to you.
And so we always had that, right?
Yeah.
If you did something wrong, you know, you would, "God, if you just get me out of this one time."
Yeah, you're bargaining with them at that point. Yeah, you got yourself in hot water, and now you're trying to bargain your way out of your deal.
I'll do the right thing. I'm going to follow you. Just get me out of
this. Just don't let her pregnant, man. I'll be a good guy the rest of my life. Right.
And so, but anyway, so we're at a point in the world and in society that religion is not as prominent as it once was. And I don't think that's a good thing, right? I mean, as a matter of fact, I know it's not a good thing.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Earl. You know, there's an underlying stream of thought, I think, in society where there's a certain amount of independence. And I think that kind of comes with all the media exposure of all the different religions out there that do things that can be perceived as being a little, having a little tinge of hypocrisy to it, okay?
Right.
I mean, there's been a history of some stuff going on that people look at that stuff and they go, "Man, that ain't my gig. That isn't my faith. That isn't what this guy taught." You know, so I think there's some of that going on where people have a justification, like, why would I get involved in that? You know?
Right.
Well, what do you think, Earl?
Well, I think this, man, once, you know, when you're young and you see those things, I always loved church, right? Because church to me was an opportunity to be around a lot of different people, positive mm-hmm. people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always activities yep. in the church as a young boy. And so I loved that part of it. I loved the fellowship
sure.
part of church and the things that I learned along the way. Well, you know, as you get older and you start looking at life, your parents are no longer here. In my case, they're no longer here. And now, you know, I've got my own family and mm-hmm. and I raised them in church. They're not in church. And I'm not in church. And there are times that I feel like, man, I miss that part of it. I should get back to that. But then there's a scientific thing, right? As we get older and you start seeing, let me clarify something. And I want to be clear, man. And I know I'm not sounding as sure as the Earl that's always on here on a daily basis. But, there are times right now, man, where scientifically I see some things, I read some things, and I say, oh.
Yeah, that's an epiphany.
Yeah.
Light went on. Yeah. Yeah, I see you're scratching your beard there, Earl. You just had one, didn't you?
And it challenges
yep.
the foundation that you've had in your life.
Sure.
And so you get caught between those things.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, is it either or? You know?
Yeah.
Or could it be both? But I know there's something more powerful than myself. I would be a fool to think that there was something that's not as powerful as me. Man, you look out at these trees, man.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spring day.
Yeah, and so, but I mean, you see the tree. Do we know that the tree is omitting oxygen? Wait a minute. How's a tree omitting oxygen? Is that by accident?
It's by divine design.
That's my point, man.
You know, this stuff doesn't come just out of thin air.
This is the stuff I'm talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Very philosophical. You're going a little deep water here, Earl.
Well, but you have to go deep water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you know, as we get closer, you know, you want to know a little
when you
bit.
Get closer, like you and me, right?
And that's why the church is full of people like you and me.
Yeah, yeah.
And not young people like Calvin. Anyway, let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Hey, Gene from Eau Claire. Good morning to you. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. Help me out. I'm floundering.
I love it. I was raised the same way that you were. And I taught Sunday school and Bible school, but I didn't teach. And there's a difference between religion and faith.
Right.
And I've lost a lot of faith in a lot of the so-called religions that are preaching things that I've never learned of, the hate, you know, the hurtfulness toward others, you know, pigeonholing people, the ones that were praying at the Supreme Court. I mean, I think, unfortunately, young people see this and say, I don't want to be like that. I want to care about others. I don't think they've had the opportunity to learn the way that we did. And, you know, and I still have faith and hope. I don't go to a church either, Earl, but I do a lot of praying and paying a lot of attention and reading and things. And sometimes it's individual relationship, you know, with our Maker, whomever. You have learned in your childhood is your light. And I just really still believe I have more hope now and faith than I ever did in my life. And I'm at the end of my years real close. So it's belief in young people who is listening to you right now, Earl. I mean, it's important that they learn the things that
we learned.
Learned and I have learned and others. But unfortunately, there's been a black cloud over a lot of some of those big churches and the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the people that get up there using the word to manipulate and hurt promote hate.
Hey, Jean.
And that's what we got to fight against.
Hey, Jean, you have never been better. I listen, you know, every time you call and I listen to you and the things you say, and you say a lot of great things, but you've never been better than what you just said now, and I thank you for that, because you are right on point and clearly, and you make it easier for me to feel the way I'm feeling now, because you're expressing just what I haven't been able to express. So I thank you for that, for always being a great caller. But that, what you just put out, is the best that you've done. So thank you.
Thank you, Earl. And you hang in there, and you guys keep up the great work.
All right. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jean.
Don't you think she...
She is such a gentle, kind, intelligent, articulate woman. I listen to everybody's show. She calls in a lot. She is just a special lady. She's well-grounded. She can tell she's well-read.
Yeah.
Everything's, you know, the message that she conveys is just a beautiful thing.
Man,
you know, so I just love her.
She just expressed it properly. You know, people keep saying to me, hey, you need to be back in church. And I'm like, okay, why? Well, yeah. You know, that's, you need to be fellowshipping. I said, listen, I do a lot of different things. I volunteer my time. I do a lot of things to help people. Every day of my life is consumed with making somebody else's life better. Every second of every minute of every hour of every day, I utilize my time. And anybody who knows me, trying to make somebody else's life better. Because I'm not in church, is that somehow a knock on who I am?
Oh, geez, Earl.
I know. No, I'm just,
you know.
No, there are people who think that, and that symbolism, I think, is part of where we get caught up,
right,
in things, and then judging others who aren't in those places, right?
Well, yeah. You know, I just make a comment there about, you know, judge not, ye shall not be judged, you know? You're a cool cat. There's a lot of cool cats running around that are doing a lot of great work, because they don't end up in a place at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday and all jump up and down. You know, that ain't it, brother. You know, it's more of a spiritual connection with, you know, you called him your maker or your God or, you know, that special entity. I think you're a lot closer and have a lot more soul when you're doing an individual one-on-one kind of prayer session or meditation or whatever that is. I don't mind doing some stuff in a group too. I had a great guy up in Oshkosh by the name of Joe Butler. You know, fabulous deal there. But, you know, I gravitated away from that a little bit. That doesn't make me a bad guy. Makes me a good cat.
All right, listen, we've got to go to a break. All of you on the phone lines, hang on. I promise we'll get to you. This is just what I wanted, to have this open conversation. And I'm thankful to all of you who are on the lines and those of you who are listening. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Listen, I'm just talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, scientific facts and faith. And as, you know, the years close in on us, you know, what are your thoughts? So let's go back to the phone lines, and let's go to Steve from Green Bay. Hey, Steve, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen, and I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to talk to you guys about this very subject. Just a quick background on myself. I was actually raised Pentecostal by my grandmother until she died of cancer, unfortunately, at the age of 5. But I've also been Lutheran. I was one of the Lutheran pioneers. I was a Jehovah's Witness for a little while, Baptist, Methodist. So I have and actually just recently, 3 years ago, I was a convert to the Catholic Church. So I have a pretty well-rounded understanding of religion and what that entails. And what I've taken out of it is that religion in its core is a lot of man-made rules that uses, you know, the Bible to enforce those rules. And what I've really taken out of it is, you know, church isn't necessarily four walls. Church is wherever you go to talk to your maker, whoever you believe that is, whether that's in your bedroom, on a park bench, in a library, wherever that is. And I've just learned that, you know, you don't have to go to church necessarily to be, you know, a spiritual person. I mean, I wake up every day. I thank my maker for, first of all, waking up, but I also thank him for the sun shining, the trees, the air I'm able to breathe. You know, I try on a daily basis to give back to my community because I believe that, you know, that is one of the things that was instilled in me, is that, you know, you should give back to the less fortunate. But also, I believe that God loves everybody, whether you're gay, straight, black, Mexican, white, whatever.
Hey,
God doesn't single people out.
Hey, Stephen, man, thank you very much for the call. I wish I had more time. The line's full, so we got to move on. I really appreciate it. Let's go to Mary. Hey, from DeForest, Illinois. Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Mary.
Hello, good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Thank you very much for calling. You say what?
Very good. It's DeForest, Wisconsin.
Oh, I'm sorry. DeForest, Wisconsin.
No, that's fine. And I want to say I, too, appreciated very much Gene's words, and I appreciate your having this question on the air. And it's big and complex, but we got to try to be short about it, about faith and religion. I have to agree that they don't always go together, because faith is almost the most powerful thing. When you share faith among a group of people who actually care for each other, that's what gets us through hard things. And it's critical and necessary and very, very powerful. And I appreciate the comments people have said about gratitude for our world, the huge world that somebody created that we have no comprehension of. And that's where it comes to science. Science is cool. They've learned a lot of things that have been helpful, but they're proud. We need to be more humble in this universe. And science can also be exploited, just like sometimes institutional religion is. Churches can be exploited. And science, too. We have to be alert and humble about what the scientists tell us and about what we think we can really know. I won't say more right now, but I really appreciate the conversation, Earl.
Hey, Mary, I think that what you had to say was also fantastic.
That's a great comment.
Yeah, and well thought out, and I could feel your spirit in the response. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for calling. You know, I know it takes a lot for people to get to a point where they decide that they want to respond. Let's go to Bill from McCullen Walk. Hey, good morning, Bill. Thank you very much for the call, man. What do you say?
First of all, can you hear me okay?
Absolutely.
Because my phone is hanging on by a thread, but it's on the charger.
Okay.
Well, we got you, Bill.
Call in. I had to call in because I've been involved in Christian leadership for a long time. We start classes. In fact, we're starting a couple of new ones in the next month or so. And we believe, as a group of Christians, and it's non-denominational, all are invited. There's no charge, you know, if you join us. We meet. I can get into that later. But here's my point. Here's why I had to call in. If we have Christian leadership in our country, we won't have the issues we currently have. There are all kinds of Christians, and I came from, or actually been surrounded by what you would be called evangelicals, which at time they profess Christianity, but Monday morning they're different people. And we're not in our group. We're 24/7, 365. I grew up in 18 years of Christian education, and I know for a fact, I'm 74 years old, I know for a fact, if you want to have a fulfilled life, follow God. You follow God, all this stuff that goes on in the world is understandable to the point that you have the answer to all of it. And if people would take time to listen, we would have a better world. Thanks. By the way, Earl, you are a blessing. You really are. I am blessed to know you. You could have been one of the disciples. You fit the bill. So.
Hey, Bill. Ask my wife for 42 years if that's the case. I didn't quite fall down out of heaven.
That's where I was going, Earl. You were going to say that, didn't you?
I came up out of hell like everybody else. But thank you very much. I really appreciate the call. We've got to go to a break. Tom, Curtis, hang on, and others. We'll come right to you. I promise you right after the break. You're tuned into the Early Game Show. We'll be right back.